appreciate so much the things that have been said and the songs that we've sang, and certainly being able to remember our Lord and Savior is the focus of everything that we do. But I really appreciate people being mindful of the fact of how wonderful it is to be a part of this local group and how wonderful it is to be with you today, as always. And just such a blessing given to us from God. And lots of times I don't think we realize just how wonderful that is. When I think of the topic that Roger chose for us today, certainly his part of it, he was expressing just how great God is. It's virtually impossible for us to totally express how great God is and how mighty He is, and how, using his terminology, just how big He is. We just don't have a concept. It's impossible. He tries to give us certain things, and certainly we would have certain things that we should look at. But why should we respect God? And Roger gave me this part, and he suggested some things that I might mention to you today, so I'm going to do that. When we look at many things in the Bible, you can be turning to Isaiah if you want. I have 22:11 down, but I also wanted to go to Isaiah 40. To go along with what Roger actually said just a couple minutes ago. In Isaiah 40, verse 25, Isaiah would say, "To whom then will you liken me?" This was from God. "Or to whom shall I be equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of His might and the strength of His power. Not one is missing." It's virtually impossible for us to look at what Roger put up there this morning and just going away from earth all the way out, as far as we think we're capable of going out, which is just not very far at all. What he showed us that we think we know, as far as the Milky Way galaxy, is just a small part of what God created. Now think of this for just a moment. Just how dumb people say we are to believe that there's a creator and that there's a God, and to think that somehow, by chance, all of that came together and functions properly every day. And we're the idiots. How great is God? How much respect should we have for Him? Isaiah 22:11 talked about where he was prophesying about the destruction of Jerusalem, the things that was going to happen. Isaiah was talking about those things, and he says this, just one thing in the middle of it: "You also made a reservoir between the two walls for the water of the old pool." You see, they didn't make the water. "But you did not look to its maker, nor did you have respect for him who fashioned it long ago." The respect's not there. He said, you better have respect. I think so many times we look at this and we think, and I appreciate what Roger said earlier, because it kind of goes into the Hebrews 12. He talked about my father. I had tremendous respect for him and all that went with that. And in Hebrews 12:9, he talks about that, the respect that we have for our earthly fathers. But he said, shouldn't you have more respect for the Father of Heaven? Shouldn't you understand just how much respect you need to have for Him? Now, these are varying words that we're using in these translations. And when we look at them, it talks about us paying respect to them. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the fathers of spirits and live? I would dare say that if we truly could just get just a little bit of understanding of this, there would be no problem in our following God, if we could just understand how great He is. There's many words used in the Bible for respect. Lots of times we see the word reverence is interchanged with it. Like, for instance, in Ephesians 5:33, it says in the New King James Version, "Nevertheless, let each one of you, and so in particular, so love his own wife as herself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Now, in the Old King James, it would use the word reverence. Now, they were very careful in translating this, because the word actually comes from the word phobia. Now, that word phobia carries a lot of meanings to it. We understand it today, as we've carried it into the English language, that we are fearful of something. So, is he saying that the wife should be fearful of her husband? No, but she should be fearful of the one who put her husband as the lead or the head in the family, because it will be God that'll call all this into account, not her husband. So whether she's fearful of him or not, or whether she has reverence or respect for him or not, she'll answer to God for that. So we're starting to understand this word. It has a lot to it. Various Hebrew and Greek words are used to set forth this idea between God and man, and to show the tremendous awe, respect, reverence, fear we should have for him. All of those things go together. If we don't have them, we probably won't have the respect. So the Roger said, why don't you do? Why should we respect God? And he said, why don't you talk about some of the benefits that are received from that? What tremendous benefits. Think about this in Acts 10. When discussing our relationship with God, he was talking to Cornelius, and he wanted to make a point, Peter did, to Cornelius about this, and certainly he struggled with it himself, but he said this in 34, in the truth I perceive that God is not partial, or God is not a respecter of persons. That when it comes to God, it isn't based on the fact that he just likes someone, it's based on the fact that there has to be a relationship. There's a benefit that we derive in that. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Think about this. A benefit of respecting God is that he in turn will be there for us. And it won't be based on partiality. It won't be based on the fact that he just happens to like one person better than another person. That should be there for, F-O-R-E, to be accepted by him, one must respect or fear him. We must have that tremendous awe of God. We must look at him and say, I know who he is. I truly understand as best I can just how awesome and great and mighty he is. And then, in return, I must do works of righteousness. It won't be just my feelings on this. It'll be my feelings based on what I'm doing if I want to be accepted by him. In 2 Corinthians 6, starting with verse 17, he talks about the fact that we need to make sure, because of God, to understand the difference in this context between the things that people were doing and not showing their respect for God and what we need to do in showing our respect for God. And he makes a point about we've got to be very careful, and he quotes from both Isaiah and Jeremiah. So when we start in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If I truly fear and respect God, I'm going to do the best I can to keep sin out of my life. Because I understand what God's promise is on this. That I understand there's a benefit to be derived. That I will receive something as a result of that, not on the basis of I've been so good, but on the basis that God will give me those things. But we need to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. What if I do that 90%? No. He said, can't do that. I've got to come away from those that are sinful. I cannot live a life where I engage in sin with them. I can't make that my life. I will guarantee you, as my dad used to say, you cannot lay down with the dogs without getting up with fleas, eventually, unless you do something to keep them from getting fleas. Then we'll be his sons and daughters. That's a benefit. What a blessing to be his sons and daughters. The reverse of that is, if I'm not his son, then I lose my relationship with him. But in Romans 12, or Hebrews 12, he says there's another thing we can get from this. Not only will we be accepted, not only can we perfect holiness, but we can receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. You know, I want you to think about something for just a moment. In the very first thing that we talked about, being accepted by him, that great benefit of being accepted by the Almighty God. Have any of you ever wanted to be accepted by someone else? Have any of you gone out of your way to do what it took to get accepted by them? I think all of us have. We wanted that special relationship. See, we understand that on earth. How about the second one, when we realize that we need to perfect holiness? Have you ever thought about what it would take to perfect a certain skill, to perfect something? Who do you go to? Who did Mike go to perfect his ability to play the drums? Who does he look to? Who does he listen to? See, that's what we do. We understand that in life, but we don't understand it in our relationship with God. Just like this one. What if we could be a part of something if we understood this need to be respectful? If you look at this in Hebrews 12, he talks about the old kingdom, and how they had come to that mountain and how they had been fearful and they were scared. They would not even approach that mountain anymore, where Moses, on Mount Sinai, where he got the Ten Commandments and the law from God. But he talks about this new, that we come to this new place, Mount Zion, and we receive all these things. Now, as he goes on in verse 25, see that you not refuse him who speaks. Respect him. Think about what he's having to say. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, that being Moses, much more shall we escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. He said, you better have some respect for God, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he's promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. He's talking about getting away from that old law, getting away from that old covenant. He's going to take it out of the way. He's going to shake it. He's going to get rid of it. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God's a consuming fire. We better understand and know what Jesus had to say. He is God's representative. He tells us what to do. Then we need to serve God acceptably. You notice in all of this every time, respect demands service. Respect demands it, because with reverence we need to serve Him, and with godly fear we need to serve Him. We need to understand, just like Roger tried to get it across to us this morning, just how great He is. And it's virtually impossible, again, for us to totally understand that. But not just that. Through Him we can get a defense for everything we do. I don't have to concern myself, because He's provided all of that so that I can know. In 1 Peter 3:15 through 17, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. This is a benefit of being His child. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that's within you. How? With meekness and fear. Don't give answers based on your think-sos. Give answers based on what you know God says. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it's the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. We will set Him apart in our hearts. We will recognize Him as being God Almighty. We will respect Him with all of our being, as Roger pointed out. When we do, our conscience is clear. If we do what He says, our conscience is clear. We will overcome persecution. But not just that, but Roger suggested we receive some salvation from this. We are promised some things. In Acts 26, if we respect God, if we understand and know our relationship that we actually have with Him, in Acts 26, starting with verse 12, Paul is talking before King Agrippa. And he makes a point about what he has gone through, and he says, while thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. Now here's Paul thinking, I have respect for these people. I have respect for God. I'm going to go out and get rid of these people that are trying to change things. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus, and he says in 13, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this very purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. For what purpose? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the powers of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. What a wonderful thing. God says, as great as I am, as awesome as I am, I love you. I want to take care of you. Paul, I want you to go tell these people about it. I want you to tell them about the forgiveness of sins. I want you to turn them from darkness to light. I want you to turn them from Satan to me. I want them to receive forgiveness of sins. Only God Almighty can do that. We can't. And then he says, so that they receive an inheritance. Have you noticed how many times through this and how many times through Roger's lesson he talked about the relationship now? The inheritance? I inherit something from God Almighty just because I've had respect for Him. Just because I've understood somewhat who He is. But also, we'll be saved from eternal damnation. Not only will I have my sins forgiven here on earth, but he even said this all the way back in Ecclesiastes 12, that we need to fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For He will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let me ask you a question. Do you realize how great He is? Do you realize we're going to have to stand before Him one day? Do you realize what that means? Again, it's hard for me. Hard for me to understand that fully. I'll be the first to admit it. I've never seen God. I've seen all the things that He's done. I've read His Word. But I know that one day He's going to bring every work that I've ever done, whether good or evil, before me and let me know whether I have eternal salvation or not. You see, I need to keep His commandments. I need to have that type of respect for Him. When my dad said, "You will do this," I knew that I needed to do it. Sometimes I didn't. You know what happened? Anybody want to make a guess? Sure, you already know. I got in trouble. And when he said I was going to be punished, he meant it, and I was punished. And I was punished immediately. And then I went and did it. You see, my dad was that much greater than me. My dad, I had respect for him. After a while, it wasn't a matter of, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and do this. Because every work will be brought into judgment. In Hebrews 4, the seriousness of this, we want to escape eternal damnation. We want to make sure that we don't have to face it. This is not a myth. This is not a theory. This is God trying to save us from this. He said that He has something for us. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest... And I talk about this a lot. It's an eternal vacation, if you will. We are at rest. We don't respect Him here. We don't get the rest there. Let us fear, he said. Let us fear. In other words, have that respect for God, lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we have... We who have believed do enter that rest as He has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He had spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying to David, "Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his." Salvation, eternal, a rest. A rest is promised. But you noticed, let us fear, lest any of you seem to come short of it. He's saying most people will not have respect for God. Most people won't be fearful. You see, proper respect or fear will keep us on track. And he talks about that throughout this. But they didn't have it. I've always thought, they saw all of these things that God was capable of doing and still had no respect for Him. We can read all of these things and see all the mighty creation and everything that He's done and still not respect Him. We must be diligent to enter that rest. In Revelation 20, verse 4, it is those who will stand by Christ, who will have respect for God, who will understand what this is all about. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or His image and had not received His mark on their forehead or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Already been blessed because of their desire. Those souls who had stood with Jesus, those souls who had not worshipped the beast or His image, and I believe talking about the Roman Empire. But it takes work. It takes work. And it takes a lot of respect. And it takes a lot of understanding of who God is. And it takes an understanding to know that He will never tell us to do anything that won't be good for us. But in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, what does it take? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. If we don't have that inner fear and trembling of God, if we don't have that respect for Him, we'll never seek to do it. It must be with it. It must be worked out individually. I can't work out yours. You can't work out mine. It comes from God. And then there's a relationship realized. He becomes our Father. In Matthew 6, in that beautiful, beautiful prayer that Jesus taught them to pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Hallowed be Thy name. Goes on, and you can see with every part of that, there's a respect for God. Your kingdom come. Of course, that has already come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, understanding a total dependence on Him. Forgive us our debts or sins as we forgive others, understanding we need His total forgiveness. Don't lead us into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one, showing His power and might. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. You see, a relationship. Now I can call Him my Father. I have a relationship with Him because I have respect for Him, because He is hallowed to me. He is holy. He is sanctified or set apart to me. He means something to me. And I must show Him respect every time I approach Him in prayer. And in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, He lets us know that it's a matter of doing His will. It won't be just a matter of saying, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. That's not respect. That's just an acknowledgement of something. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, it takes the doing of it. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and Thy name cast out devils, and Thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. When you think about this, some of them even were acknowledging Him and doing things, but they were doing it not according to His will, not according to His law. You see, just acknowledging Him is not enough. True respect means true obedience, not just an obedience of I want to obey to this point. We're under His protection. In the 61st Psalm, as a showing respect to Him, and I could have read psalm after psalm after psalm on this. But here's certainly David talking to Him. And he says in chapter 61, or Psalm 61, 1 through 4, hear my cry, O Lord, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. It's a respect for God, knowing He's the one. He's the one that totally protects us. He is our shelter. We are under His wings and protection, and we understand and know that. In Hebrews 13, Another passage that teaches us from the New Testament that we are under His protection if we have respect for Him, if we're willing to do all the things that He tells us to do. And it needs to be a proper respect and understanding, again, to the best of our ability. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. I have such respect for God that I truly believe that whatever I go through in life, whatever man might do to me, I can overcome it. There's not one thing man can do to me that God can't take care of. When we respect His Word, we will be content, and He will never leave us. That's a promise. He's the only one. Have you ever thought about this? Every day, if you respect Him, He takes care of you in every way that He possibly can. He takes care of people whether they respect Him or not in some ways. But for those who are His children, He takes care of in special ways. And what can man do to us? What's the most a person can do to us? Take our life. And think about this. We can ask anything of Him. You know, I could go to my dad and ask for certain things. And some of them He could fulfill. Some of them He couldn't. But there's nothing too great for God. And in addition to that, there's nothing too small for God. What a wonderful thing. In Matthew 7, He said, the problem is we don't ask. That shows we don't respect. That shows we don't care the way we should. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if he has a son, asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? When we have respect for people, we don't care to go ask things of them. We understand that they can help in some way. But to be able to ask for anything, doesn't matter how small or great, you see, but we've got to ask, seek, and knock. And our Father will always give us good gifts. And that's what He says in James 1 as well. 1 John 5, and I know if those, all of you that have been around me for some time now, you know this is one of my favorite passages about prayer. This is so comforting. If we have respect for God, we can go to Him and we can have some confidence. And this is what He says. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears it. And we know that He hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. Now if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that, because all unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. In this particular verse, he says, when our respect, our confidence is in Him, when we truly understand the relationship we have with Him, we ask. It says He hears. It says He hears, and then we have our petitions. It didn't say, well, maybe. Now, possibly you'll have those things. When we have our trust and confidence in Him, and we respect Him the way we should, He says we will have it. Now, there's an exception to that. He talks about someone who has sinned a sin of death. That is a person who is not penitent, a person who won't change. I can pray to God all I want to about it. He's not going to forgive that person. He won't forgive me if I'm not penitent of my sins. And we should respect Him enough to ask Him in faith. And I know in context He's talking about in James 1, us going to Him and asking for wisdom. So we're going to go to James 1, 5 through 8. If any lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting or wavering. Because if we do, he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind, and let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, because he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. See, the problem's not with God. The problem's with man. He said the problem is you just don't have the type of respect and understanding you need to have about God, that He can do anything, that He can give you anything, that He can give you wisdom if you ask. But you have to ask in faith. And He says if you do, it will be given. But I'm going to tell you something. He said if you have just that little bit of doubt, nothing will be received. That's a promise from God. You see, we're talking about Almighty God who can do anything. We must have total trust and confidence in Him. And I want to end it with this from the book of Revelation. So we talked about prayer. And again, I use this recently because it's such a beautiful thing. If you turn to Revelation 8. You remember Roger at the beginning said about he knows the very hairs of our head. All the hairs of our head are numbered. And he just used that as an illustration. Of course, all he's saying is that the passage I use, he knows them all by name. He knows that none are missing. He knows where they all are. He knows everything about everything He's ever created. It's not a problem. So how insignificant am I about prayer, which is what we're talking about now? Now, I realize there's a context here. I don't want to take it out of context, but I'm just showing how important prayer is, how much it means to God. And before I do, you know how you hear nowadays, well, every email, everything you've ever written online, everything that you've ever done is probably still out there somewhere, that there's nothing that can be hidden, that somewhere people might find out about it, that there are certain instances where you even are required to keep all of those things. And I was thinking, okay, that's pretty good, and there might be a person out there that has a few of those things, and you can be pretty sure that nobody has all the things you've ever done. Right? No, you can't. Because God does. You see, as powerful as man might be and as much as we might be able to save and as many things as might be known about us, very limited. Then another angel in verse 3, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. God doesn't forget them. It's all there. Every prayer I've ever uttered, every time I've ever talked to God, the Almighty God knows. He hasn't forgotten one thing about me. He hasn't forgotten anything about my life. He's never forgotten anything except He will not remember my sins against me anymore. How wonderful is that? He hasn't forgotten them. He can still bring them to mind. Doesn't mean that. He just won't remember them against me. That's the God we're talking about. You see, we get some benefits, as Roger wanted me to say. We get some salvation. We get a relationship with God, and in particular, he wanted me to talk about prayer. You think about this, God demands respect. This is not a matter of, okay, you might pay me a little bit of respect for who I am. No, he demands it. And when we show proper respect, we trust him completely. There's no lack of trust or confidence on our part, and when we trust him, we just do it. If he says, do this, we don't say, well, no, wait a second, I need 50 reasons why. We just do it. Because we trust him. We have respect for him. And then when we do his will, we receive everything through his grace and mercy. It's not because I earned it. And we receive his grace and mercy because Jesus died for our sins. Jesus died so that we could come to him in faith and obedience, receiving the salvation of our souls. Don't make his sacrifice vain today. Obey his will today. If there was any way that I could say something, I would. But God said it all. And here's the thing. As we talked about in the class today, you're going to make a choice today. You're going to choose to respect God and do his will today, or you're going to go away today and choose not to do it. Please respect him. Please understand what he's done for you. Please understand how awesome and great and mighty and powerful he is. And accept his love and grace and mercy. And today become a child of God. Please stand. Sing number one.